Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, July 8th, and I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up in the book of 1 Corinthians, and today I'll be reading chapter 10. The title in my Bible says, Warnings from Israel's History. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that food sacrificed to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God, and I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than He? I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of conscience. I am referring to the other person's conscience, not yours. For why is my freedom being judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, Why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. And now for a reading from Psalm 53. For the director of music, according to Mahalath, a Maskil of David. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt and their ways are vile. There is no one who does good. God looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Everyone has turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Do all these evildoers know nothing? They devour my people as though eating bread. They never call on God. But there they are, overwhelmed with dread, where there is nothing to dread. God scattered the bones of those who attacked you. You put them to shame, for God despised them. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion, when God restores his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad." And now let's move forward to the book of Ecclesiastes. Today we'll read chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. Who is like the wise? Who knows the explanation of things? A person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. Obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. Do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Do not stand up for a bad cause, for he will do whatever he pleases. Since a king's word is supreme, who can say to him, "What are you doing?" Whoever obeys his command will come to no harm. And the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure. For there is a proper time and procedure for every matter, though a person may be weighed down by misery. Since no one knows the future, who can tell someone else what is to come? As no one has power over the wind to contain it, so no one has power over the time of their death. As no one is discharged in time of war, so wickedness will not release those who practice it. All this I saw as I applied my mind to everything done under the sun. There is a time when a man lords it over others to his own hurt. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. In the book of 1 Corinthians today, in chapter 10, I saw two things I wanted to highlight. First is the idea that we must be careful not to think we will not fall into temptation. He says in verses 12 and 13, "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overcome you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear." So the idea here is that we pray that the Lord would help us in the face of temptation and that we would be humble and not say, "Oh, that would never happen to me," because I believe that all temptation is common to man, and we must be humble in the sight of God as we seek to be the kind of people He has called us to be. And then as we progress on into this idea of the believer's freedom. So some were saying to Paul, and he was quoting them, "I have the right to do anything." Yes, we do have freedom in Christ, but we should come under the wisdom of God, which reminds us that we don't seek our own good. We as a believer, as believers, we as followers of Christ are to seek the glory of God in whatever we do. And so he says down here in verse 31, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." As we end our time together, I want to pray a prayer from the Divine Hours. This is a book of prayers for summertime. And this is the call to prayer. "I will call upon you, God, and the Lord will deliver me in the evening, in the morning, and at noonday. I will complain and lament, and He will hear my voice. He will bring me safely back. God, who is enthroned of old, will hear me. Our God will come and will not keep silent. Before Him there is a consuming flame, and round Him is a raging storm. For your name's sake, O Lord, forgive my sins, for they are great. Help me, O Lord my God, save me for your mercy's sake. Help me, O Lord, save me for your mercy's sake. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen."